All right, let's finish 1 Thessalonians. We're in the midst of chapter 4 there. We got up to verse 3 there. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So our sanctification is our being set apart to serve God. Sanctify, you're being set apart. Maybe it's an area of your life that hasn't been set apart yet, but God is going to do that today for you. I believe that. I don't believe we gather just to knock off another Sunday. I believe there's something here for you today. You're going to be sanctified today. There's something in your life that needs to be removed, and you need to be set apart unto a new thing for God. So receive that sanctification. It comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's your body, your life, in sanctification and honor. Last week we talked about a fellow named Anthony Comstock and his witness. He had a great friend, great buddy, that died because of this fornication, because of perversion, adultery, the eyes being filled with it, being hooked on it. Verse 5 talks about that addiction to it. Not in the lust of concupiscence, which is that addiction, it's that hooking, it's that passionate, it's that you've been hooked. That desire is leading you now. No longer are you in control of it, it's got control of you. We call it addiction. But it's a hooking, it's got you. Sin has got control of your life. The lust of concupiscence in the old King James, passion, your translation might say, but it's when it's got you, you're hooked. So fornication, lust, these things, don't play around with them. Don't be chasing that lure. Don't play around with these things. You'll be hooked. The hook will get in there and it'll get in your jaw. And that's a hard thing to dislodge from someone's life when the hook is in there. God is greater than anything and God can deliver. But boy, what a mess it can bring you in and through though. And what damage can be done. Best to take heed to the scripture and set that apart right now. That you're going to live holy, a holy life unto God. That God's got one for you in mind. One person. One mate. A husband or wife. That's it. And that's wonderful and that's beautiful. Decide now. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be 1,000 wives. It's not going to be 3 wives. It's not going to be everyone you see on the streets. It's not going to be multiple husbands. Because this guy's stronger, or this guy follows the Lord, or this guy does this, or this guy knows how to skin a deer, or whatever it is. No, it's going to be one guy for you, and it's got a guy that God's going to pick. Maybe it's a guy that sows. Maybe it's a guy that's quiet. Maybe it's a guy that's loud. Be determined as Daniel right now, purpose in your heart. There is one that God has chosen for you. One. Purpose that now in your heart. Be set apart and sanctified. Abstain from fornication. Don't mess around with it. He continues, speaking of our preparation for what? For the coming of the Lord. You're going to face Jesus Christ one day, whether it's the trumpet sounding and him coming after you, or the end of your life and you standing before Jesus Christ. So he's going on to this preparation for that moment in time. Your great appointment isn't the dentist appointment in 4 months or the doctor's appointment. It's your appointment with God. And no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, defrauding honesty, truth, speaking truth with each other. Remember the punky wood? I think it got cleaned out when the church got cleaned. Thanks for doing that. It was leaving trails everywhere and bugs probably. But the punky word, which was a representation of the word, punky wood, which was rotted versus solid wood, or the solid word, our truth, what we speak, needs to be solid, sound. Remember, speaking of and sharing that, my dad would show me that as we were cutting wood. He said, just bang the two pieces together, Paul, and listen, you hear that ping, you know, it's solid. And if you hear that thud, you know, it's wet and it's something wrong with it, it's rotten inside. as we're cutting wood, little lesson from Dad there. Our word should be solid. Don't defraud your brother, your sister in the Lord. For God has not called us in verse 7 unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're going through a preparation time, and God has started something. I started back in November with preparing for revival. That is now being extended. The tent's kind of extending into Auburn now. And we're getting involved with other people that are part of this. And it's going to culminate, or at least that's the next checkpoint, is going to be on Cinco de Mayo on May 5th, Mindy's birthday, Anthony's anniversary. But that's going to be a night of repentance, they're calling it. A night of not revival, but repentance. And they want the preachers there early because they need more repentance. So, that's what I got a letter in the mail. It said, you need more repentance, Paul. You need to come early. So, okay, no problem there. Believe it. I'm looking forward to that, but that's not a night I'm going to show up and like, okay, time to repent. That's been a process that's been happening ever since the last Wednesday night that, you know, God said, okay, done with our Wednesday night meetings that we were having, those special meetings. And it was like, I mean, it was done. Like a wall went up. God said, that's it. And it went through a time now of what it's kind of like of repentance. It's a very humbling time. It's kind of been a quiet time of soul searching and preparation and digging in and desiring for God in deeper places and His holiness. It's been really awesome. And the fasting really helps with that. It's a practical tool. It's a tool belt God has given us to aid in that area, to bring us into a place of repentance and to seek Him out more fervently. So if you haven't started that 40-day fast, you've missed the first 20 days, that's okay. You can enter into the second 20 days, which pretty much have started around now. This Sunday kind of marks that. Praise God. Holiness. In verse 8, he therefore that despises not man but God. So defrauding your brother, coming from that. Uncleanness, adultery, you know, with the church looking at each other lustfully or unholy. You know, it says greet each other with a kiss, you know, in the Bible. That wouldn't be appropriate for this day and age in our culture, but it would be back then. Defrauding each other can come in a lot of different forms. We're brought to a place here where it says, he therefore that despises, that's a way of hating your sister or brother in the Lord. If you have unholy thoughts toward them, whether it's you put them on a shelf, you're judging them in a certain way, in an unrighteous judgment, you're doing something unclean, having unclean thoughts towards them, or just not loving them, period. You're despising them. But what verse 8 is bringing out is it's actually towards God. This is His bride, people. This is His bride. You are His bride. We are the bride of Christ. When we defraud each other, we're defrauding God, His living body. He says, but as touching brotherly love, just the opposite of defrauding, is to love each other. You don't need that I write to you. He doesn't need to give a great lesson about, okay, here's how we love each other. Lesson 1, take notes. No, because the Holy Spirit is the instructor that's always in you, that's shedding abroad in your heart the love of God, says in Romans chapter 5. The Holy Spirit is working in you, instructing, saying love, 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 love. Like the coach on the sideline, right? Get in there. Do it, man. Shoot the basket. Be the team player. Love, love, love. So He's the ultimate coach of love, the Holy Spirit inside of us working. So we don't need to have great lessons on, okay, lesson number 20 on how to love one another. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher in that matter because it's the love of God that's shed abroad inside of us that we simply reveal to other people. We radiate His love. Asher had a wonderful hairdo yesterday, and I was just looking at him. He was in his high chair, and it was just like rays of sun coming out and spiraling different directions. And if you've ever seen a close-up of the sun and the flares that come out, and how they spiral and everything, I was just like fascinated looking at him. I said, man, that's a picture of the sun. I don't know where that came from, but there we are. Love one another. And indeed, he says, the testimony they had in Thessalonica, and indeed, you do it toward all brethren. Verse 10, they were doing it. which are all in Macedonia, but we beseech you. They were loving their brethren, not even in their own town, but the other churches. They saw themselves as one body. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Okay, we're always moving forward in our ability, capacity to love each other. That's an awesome thing. You never arrive there. You know, how could you? How could you even measure the love of God? It's a wonderful thing. I want to love this person. Okay. That's a lifelong process of going to different levels of exploring God's love in your heart being shed abroad, and that brings you into a place of being able to love people in even a greater, deeper way. Just when you think you've loved somebody to the max, man, I gave you this, I did this for you, I did that for you, I did... Okay. God needs to work in your heart and show you what He did for you a little bit more, the awesomeness of Him working inside of you and the love of God, and that takes you even further beyond this counting things. Praise God. Their testimony, verse 10, is that they were indeed doing it, especially to the Macedonians. And that you study to be quiet and to do your business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The second letter kind of breaks this out a little bit. So they were loving, they were doing good things, but they also had some problems. Every church does. And once you are in a church long enough, you're going to find its problems. Don't leave because you found a problem. All right? Address it. Be bold. Then you can leave. If God is showing you. You're going to find problems. That's the point. Because we're people. Once you remove all the people, there won't be any. But we're the bride of Christ. We're not to defraud each other in that way either. But to exhort each other. And that's what's happening in verse 11. There was some of the busybody stuff going on in the gossip. And that's the second letter is going to bring that out. So study the word of God. Look at the humility of Christ. Study the humility of God, His meekness. Wasn't a busybody, yappity, yappity, and mouthing off all the time. You know, there was a quietness about Him. He'd go off in solitude with the Father. There's a beauty about Christ in that way. So study to be quiet. Study to be like the Lord. Do your own business. Work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. This is a witness to the people that are in the world. That you're out there, you're in the workforce, you're doing things, you're productive, you're raising families, you've got grandchildren, you're doing things of that nature, and you're doing it right. You're doing it as a witness to the world around you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, on the outside. So our external witness, if people witness people that are in the church and they get a bad taste in their mouth, oh my goodness, what have we done? We've caused someone to stumble, really, and given them another thing to hang their hat on. Why I don't want to be a Christian. Be careful. Be really careful. The example that you lead out there. Be really careful. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. That's the biblical term for that have passed on, that have died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. It is a very awful thing to think about. That's it. I mean, somebody that you loved and somebody that you cherished, a great friend like Anthony Comstock had, and that was it. He's gone. Fornication led into prostitution, and he got hooked up with a hooker, got a venereal disease, and died. And now obscenity laws were birthed out of that, just from one man and his experience. But that was it. I mean, that man's life was over. That sorrow stops in Christ. Those that are asleep in Him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. God will bring with Him. So the great calling up of the church, what's called the rapture, the snatching away, God is going to bring their spirit and join that with their physical body, their DNA, whatever that's down here, you know, is going to be collected. Even if it's dust, it's going to be collected. Even if it's in the sea, it's going to be collected. So the information of whatever that is down here, God is going to collect that, and they're going to receive their glorified body. God is amazing. He can do things that are amazing. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them which are asleep or have gone on. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I mean, it's going to be bang, it's going to be a trumpet, the voice of an archangel with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We heard yesterday during prayer meeting, there was just one siren went off. Usually there's a bunch, we're kind of waiting, like usually there are two or three, but there was just that one. And that different scriptures came out about that trump of God were being read last night. The calling of the church body, that glorious, beautiful trump calling us home is something that we desire. That's something exciting that the church is anticipating. Why? Verse 17, that we which are alive and remain shall be cut up. There's that rapture idea, snatched up. It's just a plucking, literally the term. It's like you plucked that, whatever it is, a flower or something, a vegetable out of the garden or an apple out of the tree, just plucked. Just popped it right out. So we're cut up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the dead rising first, you'll be seeing something happening. You know, you'll kind of catch that happening first because there's an order to this. But not very far from that, almost in the same instant, that we're going to be caught with them. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And it's something that we comfort, but it's not comfortable for those that are on the fence. Remember, Satan owns the fence. They're toying with the world. They're lukewarm. Or they're just doing, they've rejected the truth. Then this all becomes not comfortable. It becomes more like a thief that's plucking something. And that chapter 5 speaks of that. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Well, we would like that. Oh, Paul, please write the exact details. Give us 15 pages. You know, but he doesn't. He says, the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's to be a surprise, but a negative surprise. Not a thief to us, but a thief to those that are lost, that have rejected God. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So this snatching away, this thief in the night, is going to come at a time when there's peace and safety. So, yeah, breaking into what seems to be utopia, spreading through the world, and they're going to think we're crazy. They already do, but even crazier, because we don't think this guy, whoever it is the answer to, you know, all of Earth's problems, which he's going to have some awesome things. He's going to solve economic problems, you know, feeding the poor, the malaria in Egypt, the AIDS epidemic, and all these things. He's just going to be, you know, and uniting the religions together. We know the groundwork for that is already in place, and, you know, the technology's in place. It just becomes closer and closer we get it. Just like, to me, it's just like, wow, we're just like inches. We're, you know, the tick-tocks away from midnight. Praise God for that. So peace and safety, they'll be saying, it's, you know, the earth is in a place of false safety, really, and false peace from the Antichrist. Then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travails upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Interesting that is used, a woman with child. You know, she's heard, she knows she's pregnant. She knows something is brewing. Yet it comes as a surprise when it does, the water breaks. So there's that inkling, knowing, but the surprise yet at the same time. You, brethren, are not in darkness. Okay, it's not to take us over as, you know, a thief kind of thing. It's not a negative thing. It's an exciting anticipation for us. Are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of light. Anytime you see an identity verse, you should write next to that in your margin, identity. Because Satan attacks us here the most. Your identity. You're not saved. You're a loser. You're this. You're that. You're the other thing. You've blown it with God. Those aren't the words that come from the Holy Spirit. Reject them. Bury yourself step way into, not on just on across the border, I mean way across the border into the land of what Christ has called you. The identity that Christ has made on the cross for you and me. And that is a child of the light. I wasn't always a child of the light, but now I am because of the blood of Jesus. I live in that land. I now live as a child of the kingdom of God. That's an identity verse. You're a child of light. You're a son or daughter of light. And children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Great identity verse there. Man, just meditate on that. Chew on that one for a while. I am a child of light, not a child of darkness. That's a good answer to temptation. That's a good answer to the ways of this world. I am a child of light, not a child of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So this sleeping, this time isn't about dying. It's about that routine that we can get into where we become almost like hypnotized by it. It's every day is the same. I eat my oatmeal and I have my raisins. And then I do this and then I do that. And routines are good and they're healthy. But what can happen is that we can become a zombie in the routines. And we can fall asleep in the light, as the song says. Keith Green wrote a song, Asleep in the Light. A very inspiring song. Listen to it. And I think you got it probably from this verse. Being asleep in the light. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober. Being filled with the Holy Spirit instead of the chemicals, instead of the things that stimulate the body here, the things that excite the body. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fasting is a great way to bring us into a place of what verse 6 is talking about, to break us out of the routine. One of the examples that I give is that, you know, I'm not eating lunch anymore at work, and it used to be routine. Okay, go down to the lunchroom, put it in the microwave, sit down, and then do the walk thing. But now it's like, okay, there isn't lunch anymore. What do I do? So God, what do you want to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to talk to? Now my eyes are open, my ears are open, and I just want to be used by you, God. If I walk around just praying, that's awesome. So being broken out of that sleep that I was in, that routine. Praise God for that. Just a simple tool that He's given us can be very helpful. This the shake off the sleep thing. To be sober, filled with this Holy Spirit. That watching, we sang about it. It's a watching, it's anticipation. We're ready to go at any time. Ready to go. There's that readiness. You want to be caught up in some kind of fornication or wicked thought or some type of, you know, dissing your brother or sister when the trumpet blows? You want to be ready at all times. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. They just constructed the breastplate. I didn't just do it, but in the last 30 years, part of the building of the third temple is going on. They're in their 30th year. And one of the things they've built is the breastplate of the priest. And they said, nobody said we could do it. Why? Because it's so intricate. It's so amazing. The different rubies that you got to get, the different gems that you got to get, you know, that are rare, that are hard to find. And they're saying, we couldn't do it. And we did it. We did it. So they're all happy, you know, they got the breastplate of the priest ready. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the third temple if we get that today. But the breastplate here is of faith. And you'll see in Ephesians, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. So what is it? Which one is it? It's both. Don't get too technical. Don't lose the forest through the trees. It's the living God that we put on. We put on Christ. We put on the living God. He's with us everywhere we go. It isn't a technical thing. I've got my helmet of salvation and I've got this, you know, and it's mechanical and robotic. And no, it's the living God that's with me everywhere I go. So this breastplate is Christ Himself. It's the faith that's produced, but the faith, the gift of faith that He's given me and His righteousness that He's died for me. And love, breastplate of faith and love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. So adding to that, not only the helmet of salvation, but the hope of salvation. What is the hope of salvation? That's the living out of that salvation. From that moment that you receive Jesus Christ, that it's anticipating God every day, that He's going to set apart this day for His good. The hope of my salvation. The hope of my salvation. I think part of that song that we sang today, that hymn anyway, talked about Him carrying us to the shore. You know, every step of the way, our salvation being worked out. And then that hope of our salvation being glorified, Christ coming. So the hope of our salvation really brings the whole picture together. And that covers our head, covers our thoughts. Very sensitive area. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not appointed us to wrath. So God pouring out His wrath upon this earth that will not take a place on the church, on His bride. He's not going to beat His bride up. Right, so that's really clear. A couple different places talk about that. We're not appointed to the wrath of God. Yeah, there's going to be trouble and tribulation. I mean, it's going to feel pretty intense. But it's not going to be the Father God like punishing you. That doesn't even make sense. It's totally ridiculous. And it's clear here in the scripture. Not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the main fundamental part of my technical eschatology, is that we're not appointed to wrath. So whatever happens, it's not going to be the wrath of God. God is with us and for us. Who can be against us? Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him? Praise God. Whether we wake or sleep, whether we go on with the Lord, we should live together with Him. Comfort yourselves, verse 11. Edify one another, even also as ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love. That's real fruit. So pastors, teachers, evangelists, they're to be admonished. I mean, they're to be esteemed and admonished sometimes. Esteemed, but in love. In love. It's not some high honor type thing where you're lifted up in pride. It's to love people. So don't forget to love the pastor either. You know, that it's like, well, yeah, he's got God all over him. He doesn't need to be loved. Yeah, they do. They can speak from experience. For their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That's a verse I go to a lot, because sometimes people aren't mentally there. You know, there's something going on. There's maybe a physical block there. There's something happening. And to bring comfort to people, there's still a command. There's still a way to love them. At least you can comfort them and support them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. People pray for patience. A lot of the older believers, or their eyes go big and they're like, oh, careful, don't pray for that. Because we know that through a lot of tribulation and trial and struggle, the fruit of patience comes. But what a delicious fruit that is. Man, don't you love that cold peach? Man, it's just so sweet and juicy, and the slobbers all over you. Patience is, to me, like that. It's one of the most wonderful fruits. But boy, it takes some doing. Peace is the first fruit. It's the first fruit you get with God. And that's why this book opens up with grace and peace. Bang, it's right there. Right there. By the blood of Jesus, you have peace with God. Done. Bang. The fruit is there. Patience isn't there. It's something that you're going to discover through tribulation and trial. Not that you earn it, but it's something that develops through the Holy Spirit, through trial and struggle. So enter into those struggles with great joy, because you're going to get a juicy peach. You're going to get some patience. You're going to get a fruit of God that you've never tasted before. Great patience and long suffering. So peace and patience, two ends of the aisle in the fruit aisle of God's kingdom. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So he's going to continue with a list for us here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? Give thanks to everything that's fun? Give thanks to everything that you enjoy? No, give thanks for everything, even burnt chicken. Thank you, Lord. Or peppered salad. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. My cooking skills. Praise God for everything. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. When you don't feel like it, don't allow your emotions to run when you pray, when you get spiritual, quote unquote, when you rejoice, when you give thanks. Don't let it be an emotional driven. We're emotional driven creatures until we're born again. Then everything flips upside down. Your emotions are no longer driving things. It's like, okay, if I'm happy today, maybe I'll love that person. That's carnal. That's demonic. That's unregenerate. If you're living that way, you're living the unregenerate life. Get born again. Today's the day of salvation. Get your life flipped around. So it's the Spirit of God that's driving things. And your emotions don't matter. They're just like tree branches that are floating in the wind. It doesn't matter. Your root and your stock is good. Your stems are solid. And the fruit's going to be produced. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Try it. I dare you. He's daring you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know what God wants me to do. Does he want me to be a scientist, a rocket ship? Does he want me to be a janitor? What's he want me to do? Does he want me to be a purple cow? That was my sister Anita's thing. What do you want to be when you grow up? A purple cow. In everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All through the epistles, all through the New Testament. This is the will of God. Being thankful. One of the sins in the desert. My goodness, folks. This is a problem in America. It isn't a lot of the things you think of. It's what's underneath it. It's unthankful, unholy people. Unthankful. It's ungratitude. It's put right up there with a sin in the desert. Where they were worshiping the golden calf and idolatry, just outright fornication, complaining and whining was right there with it. In everything, give thanks. Even if you get a bad meal in a restaurant, thank you, Lord, and double tip the waitress. Do it anyway. Give thanks. Be weird. Be different. Be peculiar. Get people into the kingdom of God one way or another. There's heaven and hell. In everything, give thanks. People will be freaked out by you. They'll want to know what that hope that's in you that makes you so different from everybody else. Stop being like the world. Quench not the spirit. Don't be a wet blanket. When God is moving, the Spirit of God is moving, don't bring that blanket of doubt over. No, he's not. No, he's not. That's the devil telling you that, and you're just bringing with that blanket of doubt, that wet blanket. Quench not the spirit. How do we do that? By despising, prophesying, someone speaking the words of God. No, they're just reading that because, or they're just saying that because, you know. Love the brother. Don't defraud your brother or sister. Love them enough to believe that God is moving through them. Encourage them in that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Those things work out anyway in themselves. You know, someone's prophesying. God will bring that to light or bear or whatever. Allow God to handle that. Those things will be proven out over time. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. I don't take on a prideful attitude like, oh, wow, you know, I can go have a meeting with a lady in the church and counsel. That would be absolutely bad. Even though there was a need for it, and it was all holy and pure, but us walking out together in this church would be an appearance of evil. And that could cause all kinds of problems, which I don't need, even the rumor. So praise God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's something we're very familiar with, that verse. So even the appearance of it can be a stumbling block and be a problem. So we need to be wise as serpents, you know, not stupid in that area. And pride will make you stupid. It really will. It's, oh, I don't need to, I'm a, you know, I'm a, I'm a Christian now, I'm a holy guy, and I'm above all this stuff. No, you've got to think, because all of these creatures on this earth come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They have all of this stuff in their head, and as soon as they see stuff, good and evil, you know, they're firing that off. They're making that judgment, and as soon as they see it, we get 7 billion of us on this earth from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And boy, what a mess it is. All kinds of wars and trouble. So we need to be mindful of this. That's how our minds are programmed now. You know, it's the nakedness, the shame, all of that is, comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's the reality of our existence now. Be careful, don't be stupid in that area. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer. What a way to end. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come back to that verse in just a second as we finish. Faithful is he that calls you, who is also willing to do it. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. We need to yoke up to the one that is faithful. Our faithfulness comes and goes. It's not like God's, which is steady. He never changes. There's no shadow of turning in him. We need to yoke up to that steady, strong ox. God himself, Jesus, invites us into that yoke. Take my yoke. It's not just leaving us by ourselves with a yoke wandering around. That's yoking up to the Lord himself, because he's faithful. God is faithful. I need to yoke up to him every single day. Brethren, pray for us. Humility coming out of Paul's letter here is not just exhorting, not just challenging them on their, you know, the gossip going on and addressing issues. It's like, you know what? We need this too. We need the Holy Spirit every day. We need the one that is faithful. We need to be yoked up to him. Pray for me too. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Today's translation would be a hug, or, you know, something a little different, more culturally appropriate for us here. I charge you by the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So we accept that. We accept that charge. We did it today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Notice he begins with grace and peace. He begins in chapter 1 of this book, the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how it ends. It ends in verse 23, is it? Oh, there it is, yeah. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So we enter in through grace and then peace, that first fruit. And then through this whole letter, as we exit out, the bulk of the material of this letter is contained inside of that. We exit back out through peace and then grace, then we're done with the letter. So you can think of this letter as a package that's wrapped in the grace of God. That's the external, most external wrapping. So none of this is possible outside of the grace of God, the work of the blood of Jesus on the cross, his body being broken for you and me. Everything is surrounded in that. So sometimes we get like, oh, we try to break out of that package and it's about this or that. Wait a minute. Stay within the framework of the grace of God in all of this, including his second coming, including gossip in the church, including fornication, all these things that were addressed, and holiness and all of this. All inside the package of the grace of God. Then one layer inside of that is the peace of God. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ and what he did. That first fruit, man, that is just there with you. Start your day that way. Grace and peace. Then the contents of your day is contained within that package. Then you exit that day, you go back through peace. You know, I've got peace with God. Thank you, Lord, for dying to me and the grace of God. And then you're asleep. What a great way to package a day. What a great way to package your life. packaged all by the grace of God and wrapped in the peace of God. Inside there, wonderful things happen for the body of Christ, His bride. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, this day be used to just glorify You, Lord God. Maybe even in a little thing, a phone call that somebody is overdue in getting, Lord God. Or maybe even a surprise visit, Lord Jesus. Whatever it is, Lord God, or a card, we pray that You just speak to us, our hearts right now, Lord. You've ordained this day, and it's not over yet, Lord God. You've ordained it for Your glory, God, that we'd reach out in love, that we'd exhort, edify, and encourage and comfort each other, Lord God, for You are coming. We look forward to that trump that's about to sound, Lord God. I know that the angel's lips must be just getting wet and getting ready, Lord, because it just seems that way. We anticipate, Lord, prepare us, help us prepare, Lord Jesus. We ask Your anointing over this process of repenting, Lord, as Auburn and Port Byron and surrounding areas are preparing, Lord Jesus, for revival. We're excited, Lord God, that Your church wants to come together and be a spotless bride before You. Lord God, identify those areas. Encourage us to fast, Lord, when we don't want to even. Show us how to do it, Lord God, that we may know You more, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.